Let us pray, shall we? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for this evening. May the Holy Spirit speak to us. And Lord, as I share the way that you love me, I pray that you hide me behind the cross. And only the name of Jesus will be magnified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was 10 years old. I have two sisters bigger than me. I'm the youngest one. At the time, I was living in South Korea, the capital city of Seoul. I then grew up in a Christian environment. My parents, somehow they went through Catholic church, but they weren't committed Catholics. One morning I got up, this happened to me when I was 10, and I saw my sisters crying. I didn't know what happened. And I was about to go to school, and my sisters told me that our father is dead. My father died of leukemia. It came so sudden that at the same time I was too young to recognize the sorrow of death. When I went to the funeral hall, I cried because I saw other people cry. I felt sad. I still remember the day that when we buried our father. It was raining, cloudy, many people were there, and our mother cried as though heaven just crushed her. Now she's thinking, what can she do? She's thinking, what can I do with three children and my job as a waitress? And I have to work every day. I have to take a bus from Seoul to another town, and it takes about 1.5 hours. Every day. So she's thinking this way, what can I do for my children? When I get up in the morning, she's sleeping in her bed. I go to the school, come back from the school, do my homework, watch TV, go to bed, and around 11:30 or 12, she comes home. We miss our mother every day. When I look back, I can only think of less than 5 events that were beautiful. A beautiful time that I had with my family. My father and my mother, they were so busy working and working, working. In many ways, I grew up seeing them, but not knowing them. And my mother was frustrated, not knowing what to do. So she had to make a decision that was very difficult for a Korean woman to make in those days. She decided to get remarried to an American man. His name, William Gregory. So she made a decision. She said, I need to take my children to America, where there is more promise and security and more money and better education. So she made a decision. Somehow my sisters didn't like it. When my father was living, when he says something, he's a big man, tall, a little bit taller than me and bigger than me and heavier than me. And when he says something, then we tremble and we obey. But when he was gone, we felt free to talk back at our mother. Oh, we used to argue with her and my sister. We used to fight with her. She would yell at them. They would yell at her. And sometimes my mother would slap them. And very ugly. There are times that I would fight with my sisters. We get so angry. I would not talk to them. I would not talk to them for a month. Living in a small house. But we would not speak to each other. But we came over to America. We landed in the state of Florida. Very nice house. Only 5 minutes walking distance to the local beach. We had a green grass. We had trees, palm trees. When I walked in the house, now this was 22 years ago. When I walked in the house, whoa, air conditioned. Went to the living room, lo and behold, color TV. Back in those days, Korea was introduced with the color TV, and I came to America, and wow. And in America, I actually had my own room. In Korea, I had to share one room with my sisters, sleeping on the floor. But in America, I had my own bed, my own closet. I had my own table, desk. It was so nice. I went to the kitchen, opened this refrigerator, big refrigerator, and lots of food. And bananas. 22 years ago, if you can eat one or two bananas in 1 year, you're a lucky boy. Very lucky. When I saw those bananas, I ate bananas after bananas after bananas. I still remember going to the bathroom. And I turned those faucet. Hot water. Wow. We actually have hot water. In Korea, back in those days, we wash our hands, our feet, our faces, brush our teeth every day, but not full bath. Only once a week. Come to America, sometimes I took 2 showers a day. Materially speaking, we had a lot of things. But you know, things don't make you happy. I was not really talking to my sisters. I was not really talking to my mother. Not only they didn't like me, at the same time, I had a bad habit of stealing. I used to steal a lot of things from my parents, from stores, market, and my sisters. And they would accuse me. I know they're right, but I would defend myself and punch the door, make a little hole, and get angry, and don't talk to them. And our new father, he looks at me. I look at him. Yellow hair, blue eyes. No communication. My English level, I only know my name is Peter. How are you? Good morning. Same. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I didn't know 12. I had no friends in my house except television. That friend taught me all the languages with 4-letter words. And I went to school. 99% of the student body that were Caucasians, Americans. They're walking around talking. And they're all, excuse my language, they're all white and they're all talking. And they're all like this is strange. In Korea, I'm used to watching like black hair and yellow face, but here they're all like different and they're all talking and talking and I don't understand what they're talking about. I go to the classroom, I have no idea. Sometimes these American kids, actually there were two Asians, one Korean, one Chinese, but they both speak good English. I go to school and sometimes these American young people will come up to me and they will say something like, "Hey, where are you from? What's your name?" I have no idea what they're saying. And sometimes they make fun of me. They say, "Hey, you Ching Chang Chong." I know what that means, but it doesn't sound right. So next time they bother me, I will do like this. And they'll run away. I used to carry a little knife, razor blade knife in my belt. A little belt around my ankle. I'm not going to cut people up, but just to show them, if they mess with me, I'm coming back. Just to scare them off. Because I feel like I need to protect myself. Because I feel like people are putting down on me, you know. And I have to really live for my rights. And my friends, who are my friends? They are the outcasts, druggies. They're nerds. You know who nerds are? You know, they had lots of pencils and things in their pocket. They talk about computer and science. And they have thick glasses, you know what I mean? They were my friends, and they accepted me, so I was with them. And my life was like that. At home, I'm sure, I mean, time to time we say good morning to my sisters or good morning to my mom, but inside of me, I hate their guts. One day, this happened to me when I was 8th grade, I saw these Jewish young people doing something. And these young people are popular kids. They're becoming more popular. And they're doing what they call breakdancing. They're spinning around, twisting and turning. And they said, "Hey, why don't you come and try?" I said, "Okay." I tried. Right away, I was pretty good at it. And they said, "Hey, why don't you join with us?" I said, "Okay." So I joined them. I have new friends now. So I would practice with them every day, just about. And I'm getting better and better and better. And I'm having these new friends. And my clothes begin to change. I'm getting these special clothes that, you know, it's for dancing people. Buttons going this way, lots of pockets and zippers, slick, you know. And I changed my hairstyle. And I gave myself a little tiny tail, snake tail. And I gave myself a street name, a dancing name. I called myself Cobra. And we used to go to a dance club Friday night, sometimes Saturday night. And sometimes we go to school dance. And when we dance and people were, and they watch us. And I was nobody, but I was becoming more famous and famous and famous and popular. All these friends are coming to us, and these girls are coming to us. And when these girls are coming to us, I'm like, yeah. And something was happening in my mind. I was thinking, we're getting powerful here. And I felt like dancing was my life. Dancing was my power. So I'm going to hold on to my dancing because this is making me really powerful. And so we would go to the dance club and we dance there and there's a dance contest. And when I go on a dance contest, first place. Second time I go to the dance contest, first place. The third time again, many times first places. And when I dance, people in the crowd, they call my name, Cobra, Cobra, Cobra. I was nobody in school. I became somebody with this dancing. So in my mind, this is what I want. And I still remember there was a big rock concert around, I guess, 1,000 people, big stage, big speakers, and dancing in front of people, and the girls down there, Cobra, Cobra, calling the name, and I feel like, yeah. And then we go to a big competition, and we were fighting and battling with these different teams, and our team, first place, be on the news, TV news, a newspaper. We go to different malls, different shopping center, at the beach, we dance, and we're just getting more popular and popular and popular. And then I got into what they call graffiti. You know what graffiti is? Get a spray paint. You know? Make beautiful pictures on the wall. Without their permission. I got into that. But I still remember, I told you last night, I came home one night. Remember that, what I shared with you? I felt so empty. Even with all these fun and popularity and all these feeling good experiences, I felt so empty inside. But I just kept on going. Then we moved from Florida to New Jersey. New Jersey, 2 hours away from New York City. I thought, wow, that's good. New York City. You see, you have to understand. New York City, it's like Jerusalem for Jewish people. Because New York City is where all those, the best breakdancers are. DJ, graffiti, and all that is there. So I'm thinking, I'm close to all the gods of breakdancers. So I was so happy. Even though I went to a new town, within a few months, I became popular. Even the little kids would come up to me calling my name. Then I became disc jockey. And in New Jersey, after 3 years of dancing, my hair grew to be 13 inches long. And I had a graffiti jacket riding on my back. King Cobra. Long hair, chains on my neck. I have boombox all painted. I was doing DJ, and I was doing and drinking, and I was doing all kinds of things. Can you imagine what my mother was thinking when she saw me? Peter is not studying. He's dancing all the time. He's doing graffiti. He's disc jockeying. And he has no future. And he has an American girlfriend. For a Korean mother, this is bad. Terrible. So, even though she was not a Christian, she began to pray for me. And then, time to time, she would ask me to go to different churches. Like Presbyterian or Pentecostal or Baptist or Catholic Church. So I would just follow her. Nothing happened. Only thing exciting is after the meeting, they give you free donuts and coffee. That was the most exciting thing. But nothing really happened to me. But one morning she asked me, Peter, because she's looking for different churches, you understand? And I guess one time she was invited to a Seventh-day Adventist church. I believe that's what happened. And one morning she asked me, Peter, would you like to go to church with me next Saturday? I said, Saturday? Yeah, it's a Korean church. Korean church. Even though I was a Korean, I used to despise Koreans. Because many Americans, they look down upon Asians. I didn't want to identify myself with other Asians. I want to be like the Americans. At that time, 99% of my friends were street people. I mean, they're African-American street dancers. I used to talk like them. I used to walk like them. I used to do everything like them. Many times I'm thinking, I'm an American, unless I see myself in a mirror. Oh, okay, I'm a Korean. So I'm thinking, I'm American, I say. And I speak about Koreans like, when I talk about Koreans, like, Koreans? Korean church? She goes, yeah, it's a Korean church. And that church has, they have young people, and they have young ladies there too. You can go check them out. Okay, here we go. So I went. I had a pair of jeans on and t-shirt, long hair. I walked in. I'm sure people thought I was a gangster or something. And someone said, go this way. Oh, by the way, I check out the girls. No comments. Someone said, go this way. This is a Sabbath school room, or youth Sabbath school. And I don't remember this, but the youth leader told me that when I walked in, I kicked the door. The door opened. And they were having like study on steps to Christ or something. And at the same time talking about health or something. But when I walked in, everybody just looked at me. And I was looking at them. And I sat down. And then in the middle of his teaching, he said something like, he was talking about New Start thing. You know, New Start? And it was kind of a little bit strange to me, but at the same time, very interesting. He said, if you change what you eat, it will change your skin. My ears went like that. I said, what? Because at the time I was 17. I had lots of friends, popular. I mean, nice clothes. I mean, I had a lot of things going for me. But one problem. My face filled with acne. You know what that is? Pimple? Zits? Have you had them? I mean, it was covered. I try everything. Clear Cell, Oxy-5, Oxy-10. Sea breeze, those pads, you name it, salt water, spinach juice water, I try that. Cold air for your face, I try that. Whatever people told me, I believed. When you're desperate, you believe anything. But this man was talking about changing your diet inside. Because all this time I was trying to change my skin from outside, externally, not internally. Are you following? And that made sense. And believe it or not, because he was talking about things like, you know, Coca-Cola is no good, tea is no good, coffee is no good, meat is no good. It just bam, bam, bam. And then when he told me about the skin, I'm thinking, by the way, in that very moment, no one knew, that very moment, I became 70% vegetarian because I was so desperate. Then I went to the main service. I don't remember that much. And I was kind of leaning against the chair, like, you know what I mean? Stretching your legs out. I'm sure the lady behind me looking at my hair like, who is this boy? And the pastor said in the middle of his sermon, we are not animals. Animals they cannot worship God. Do you see dogs and cats go to church? No. I looked around. No dogs and cats, that's right. He said, we are made in the image of God, therefore we must worship God. Somehow that made sense. I don't know why. And at the same time, I felt as though I am a beast. And then after the sermon, some of the lady told me during the fellowship lunch, she said, this is a healthy food. I was thinking, it will help my face. So I started eating that food. By the grace of God, did you know that ever since then, for many months, I didn't miss a Sabbath? I don't know why, I was just keep coming back. The young people were nice. The people were really nice. They didn't tell me like, cut your hair, stop doing this, stop doing that. They just embraced me. They treated me as though I'm part of their family. And the youth leader will invite me Friday evening, Saturday. He will pray with me. He will teach me. He will feed me with veggie links. And then he will, you know, show me things in the Bible. And I'm learning step by step. I open the Bible. It's like, whoa, so confusing. And I cannot understand this, but he is showing me step by step. And slowly and slowly and slowly, something is going into my mind. And something in my heart told me, maybe this is what I was looking for. And one day I was talking to him, John, his name is John. John, what should I do when somebody asks me to drink alcohol, wine? What should I do? He said, you ask Jesus to see what he will do if he was in your situation. Good answer. I was going somewhere with my friends. I was sitting in the back seat of my friend's car, and my friend in the front of me, he turned around and he says, oh, by the way, I changed my name from Cobra to King Cobra. But anyhow, my friend turned around and said, hey, King, have a drink. I took the bottle. It was this big. And I prayed. Do you know anybody pray before they drink wine? God, what should I do? And something told me, a tiny voice, no. And I said, no. Hey, take this back. When I gave it back, in that very moment, there was a joy coming out of my heart. I'm like, I never experienced this before. I said, whoa. I was looking out the window, looking to the stars. I said, thank you, God. And I went to dance club that night. I was learning step by step. Amen? Amen? I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know a lot of things. Step by step with Jesus. And I remember they asked me to go to this youth camp meeting. And it's for a 3-day camp. And they didn't really teach me how to pack for youth camp. I just took just what I was wearing, and that's it. I just went without any bags, just sleeping bag. I went to youth camp. And somehow, they didn't tell me how to dress up. I was wearing these shorts. They're shorts. Really shorts. I felt like I was naked the whole weekend. But anyhow, I learned something during that weekend. The youth leader was teaching about love. He said, love suffers long and is patient and is kind. When I heard that, I said, whoa, that's powerful. I thought love was kissing and hugging, all that good stuff. And love is patience? It suffers long? Man, I want that love. Let me tell you something. My mother and I, if we talk more than 5 minutes, we fight. I try so hard to avoid her. I hate her nagging. I hate when she tells me what to do. And she has this attitude, I don't care the way I say to you, just because I'm a mother, you better listen to me. It caused my inward anger to just come up and just speak back at her. And I truly thought that my mother didn't love me. But of course, she loves me. And I love her too. But she didn't know how to express that love to me. Her way of expressing her love to me is like, Peter, go study. Peter, do this. Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? To her, that was love. And I didn't know how to express love to her. So we used to argue so much, so much. There are times that I hate her so much that I wish she would just die. Sometimes I want to feel love for her, but I have no sympathy, no feelings to love her, no feelings. Except I have to kind of imagine that she is dying in her deathbed and she's suffering. Then I feel like, oh, yeah, my mother. Oh, okay, I have to respect her. And there's sometimes I get so angry. I was so angry, I would go into my room and slam the door and I curse at her. But yet, there are nights when I was sleeping in my bed, my tears would just come down like this. It just flows down. Because I feel so lonely. I want somebody to love me. But I felt like no one loved me. Nobody knew about this. Outside, I'm King Cobra. Outside, I'm tough and strong. Nobody can mess with me. But inside, I'm like, man, I want somebody to love me. But when I heard this message, love suffers long, I said, I want that love. So that night I pray in my sleeping bag, God, please give me this love. Amen. A few weeks later, I was driving, 17 years old. I was learning how to drive. Guess who was teaching me? My mother. Don't learn things from your parents. If you cannot have patience. And I was driving, and then I made a mistake. She went, bam! Why do you make a mistake? Are you stupid and dumb? She called me that all my life. And I never got used to it. Every time she says it, she says, are you stupid and dumb? It's like a fresh, two-edged, sharp knife going into my gut. And she is twisting it. And I felt this volcanic anger about to erupt. It's just coming up. I can feel it. And I just want to crush her. But this feeling is coming up like this. In that very moment, somehow, I don't know why, God, help me. I was driving. And I was praying, God, help me. She's talking. And then a thought came to me as I was just praying. Love suffers long. And I said, God, this anger is not what you want. This anger is not what you want. Please help me. I knew there was God in heaven. I just tried because I was so desperate. I don't want to fight with my mother anymore. I hate to fight with her. I hate to argue with her. I don't want her to argue with me. God, please help me. This is a living hell. I don't want this life. Please, God, do something. I was praying. And I prayed, God, please help. Help. And then suddenly, this anger went, poof, gone. And this peace and patience came over my heart. And the first time in my life, I volunteered a smile to my mother. That was greater miracle than seeing a fire come down from heaven. She looked at me, and she calmed down. I'm driving away. I'm thinking, hang on, wait a minute. I said, wait a minute. There must be God. No one can change my character. No one. If God can change my character, I want to follow Him. And my life began to change step by step. Every time something goes wrong, I say, God, please help me. And then He helps me within the knowledge that I had. One day the pastor preached about good music and bad music. That's it. I came home, I looked at my room. You would be scared if you saw my room. I had graffitis all over my wall, posters of rappers, rock singer, poster of King Cobra. I have statue of King Cobra. I had all kinds of things on the wall. My boombox was painted. And I had a special light. They call it black light. Causes the fluorescent colors to light up. And in that room, I turn off everything except that light, and everything's glowing, and I'm talking to my girlfriend. When I walked into my room, something told me, Jesus cannot abide in this. I don't need this anymore. I used to hold on to this music and this picture, this graffiti, and all these things because I felt like they were making me feel powerful. But when I began to experience Jesus, something told me, these things are meaningless. What I'm going to do with breakdancing? I cannot see Jesus breakdance. And when I get old, I'll break my bones. It became nonsense to me. So I took those things down. Everything. Put in the trash can. I picked up my tapes. I said, because you hinder me to know Jesus. I don't need you anymore. Threw them away. My room became clean and white. All you see was scotch tapes on the wall. First time in my life. When you meet Jesus, there will be many first time things. First time in my life, from my radio, I didn't throw away my radio because it was an expensive thing. Even though it was still painted, first time in my life, that radio played Christian music. And first time in my life, in my own room, I went to bed with sweet peace. I felt secure, first time. And I slept like a baby. One day I was looking at myself, and I saw this long hair. Something told me, Peter, cut this away. I want to shine through you, but this thing is blocking me. Take it away. Lord, it took me 3.5 years to grow this thing. You want me to cut it now? Take it away. Lord, it's my power. Take it away. I use this to attract ladies. I learned one thing. I learned to be honest with God. I just tell him straight. This is how I exactly feel. And God said, do you like girls or do you like me more? Yes, sir, I will cut it. Mom, can you come and cut my hair? She said, yes, I'm coming. She's like, I was waiting for this moment. And she said, how should I cut it? I told her, Mom, don't cut everything. Just leave a little bit. Why? I just do it. So I cut it in such a way that I have thin, long hair. I put it behind my t-shirt and went to the church. When I walked into the church, some of the church members, as soon as they saw me, they reacted as though, our prayers have been answered. And they came up to me, oh, Peter, oh, now we can see your ears. Wow, you have beautiful ears. Oh, yeah, sure, beautiful ears. you look very nice. And they will walk around me, and they go behind me, and they see something sticking out. They grab it. And they said, Peter, what is this? Souvenir. and the person dropped it, and they were walking away as though, we need to pray for Peter some more. You know, when you give God 90%, when you give God 90%, you are not satisfied. So I came home. All right, I'll cut it. I cut it. But I just left one hair. And I can feel God is talking to me. Peter, stop playing with me. Yes, sir. I cut it. The burden just dropped off my shoulder. And then, now I can see, without total surrender, there's no change. There's no transformation. The day that I walked into the church for the first time, 4 months later, I was baptized as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. On the day of my baptism, I was crying because I was so happy. 17 years were so dark, so lonely, without future, without hope. But now I have a new friend, Jesus Christ. I cry. Praise God. My mother was surprised. She said, Peter, I took you to the church to become a good boy, but you became a Christian. 3 months later, she got baptized. So who took who to church? And then, after I became Christian, or even before I became Christian, whenever she nags at me in a good way, my mother's with good intention, and I don't feel it, it's like, it's really nice, but the Lord helped me to have patience. Just listen to her. Just listen to her. And because of my patience, that helped her to be more soft and more kind. And we learn to slowly talk to each other. And we can pray with each other. And then our relationship was healing step by step. God is good. What do you say?